Thank you, Gary and the choir, for that beautiful message and song. He touched me. Turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. What I think about this morning, the sinner's Savior. The sinner's Savior. Reading a very familiar passage to many, I'm sure. Sometimes I say that with hesitation because it may not be familiar to some. But for men it is. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10 in Luke. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you remember last Sunday, we caught up with Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. He's only got a short time left before he gets to Jerusalem, and knowing that he is going to die there. And so he doesn't have much time. And he's on his way, and we looked last Sunday how he had his head, his face, looking toward Jerusalem, going in that direction, and was going to go there regardless of whatever else happened. He was going to go to Jerusalem. And there were two reasons we gave why he was going to Jerusalem. One is to obey his father. It was his father's will for him to go to Jerusalem. Well, we read that he was smitten of God. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to his father, Not my will, but thine be done. And the father never did say, it's your will, but it's mine. And so it was his father's will. And the second reason he went was to pay the price, to pay the ransom for the many souls who would come to trust him as their Lord and Savior. So he's going up there for that reason. He's going to die for that reason. He's going to shed his blood for that reason when he reaches Jerusalem, and then spend a few days in there before that happens. And so today, we're looking at another event on the road to Jerusalem. Now, Jesus is on his route and he's going through a city called Jericho. And there's something that happens at both ends of that city, on the southern end and on the northern end. See, Jericho is about 6 miles northeast of Jerusalem. So he's not very far away. But as he enters Jerusalem, Jericho, there's a blind beggar sitting there, and we've looked at him in the past, named Bartimaeus. This man was poor. His occupation was that of a beggar. That's the only way he had of getting income. And so he was begging that day, and when he learned that it was Jesus coming that way, he cried unto him to stop and to help him. And Jesus did. And he gave his sight to him, and he saved him, and he went, glorified God, and started following Jesus. Now, Jesus is going through the city of Jericho and going out the northern end, or southern end, excuse me, and he finds another man there, and his name is Zacchaeus. Now, as I said at the outset, most of us remember about Zacchaeus. And a little song all of us probably know. Zacchaeus being a wee man, was he climbed up in the sycamore tree. Lord, he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today." We all know that. But a great and wonderful event did happen, and Jesus did go to his house that day. But we're told here that there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. It's interesting, isn't it, that on the other end of town was a poor man, and Jesus stopped to help him. And on the other end of town was a rich man who also needed help, and Jesus stopped to help him. And you go back further, Jesus runs into another rich man who wanted help but didn't want it bad enough to do what Jesus told him to do. So we have three people, two of them rich, one of them poor, and two of them are saved with their encounter with Jesus. But that Zacchaeus was a publican. He was a tax collector. He was a chief publican, which means no doubt that he had worked himself up to becoming a district supervisor, district manager over other publicans. And they all worked for the Roman IRS. They were tax collectors. And so the way they got rich was not what the Roman government paid them, but what they fraudulently took, cheated, stole from the taxpayers, who would come and say, what I owe you? And he'd look down there and, well, you owe $10, well, let's see, and then he'd figure up, he'd have $15, $20, $15 above what they were supposed to pay. And so this man had gotten rich doing that. And so Jesus is coming by his town, and coming through his town, and something's happened. Now, I don't know, we're not told, whether Zacchaeus witnessed what Jesus had done for the blind beggar on the other end of town. If he didn't, he'd heard about it, I'm sure. But anyway, we are told that he wants to see Jesus. He wants to find out, who in the world is this? What kind of man can do these kind of things? And what kind of man can be so popular to attract so many followers? And so he is bent on seeing who Jesus is. Now remember, we're told that he was short of stature. He was a little short fella. And so he went running up to the crowd, hoping maybe somebody let him in, but he wouldn't. And hoping that he could get up somewhere, somehow see Jesus. But nobody let him in. And nobody picked him up, put him on the shoulder so he could look over in there. So he just couldn't get in. And so he decided if he was going to see Jesus, he was going to have to do something else. So he thought about a tree. And it's interesting how God fixes things or places things where they need to be at the right time. You see, God knew that one day somebody was going to need that tree, a sycamore tree. One that a short fella could climb. Now, a sycamore tree bore fig-like fruit, but it also, the limbs were low. And it went out, stretched out. And so a little fella like Zacchaeus could run and grab a limb and up that tree go and set out on a limb right across the road where Jesus was coming. Now, I wonder why. We know that he said he wanted to see who Jesus was, but there was something going on in Zacchaeus' life. And he said, I want to see who he is. But Zacchaeus didn't have much of a life. Now, in today's world, in our standard today, Zacchaeus would be one who we would term had it made. He had everything for materially. He had money galore. No doubt he had the finest of a house and the finest of clothing, the finest of food. He had everything that anybody could need because he was rich. And we would say today, well, what else could a man like that want? You see, there was another rich man, too, that needed something there, but he wouldn't accept it. But Zacchaeus was a hated man because he was a publican. And Jews hated publicans because they were cheating them out of the money, and they knew it, but there wasn't much they could do about it. And so when Zacchaeus was sitting at his seat of custom and people come by to pay their tithe, he didn't get a smile. He didn't get a friendly greeting. And when he'd meet people on the street, they looked up with smirky looks and looks of disgust at such a man that would do this to his fellow citizens. And so he had everything materially, but he knew that there was something missing in his life. And he was no doubt tired of this kind of life, of living among a people that hated him. No friends. The only friends he had were other tax collectors and maybe his family. But that was it. And so he wanted to see who Jesus was. Maybe this man could help me. Help him. And so he runs, climbs up in that sycamore tree. And sure enough, here comes Jesus. And Jesus knows he's up there. And he looks up and he tells him, Zacchaeus, calls him by name. Now, I'm sure that Zacchaeus was taken back with that. Here was a man who knew his name, a man he wanted to find out who he was, knew his name. And he called him Zacchaeus. You see, that's the amazing thing about God. He knows all of our names. He knows where we live. And he knows what to call us and when to call us. Who's Zacchaeus? Make haste. And that is, hurry up. Time is wasting. He didn't say this to Zacchaeus, but he knew that he didn't have much time left. I'm going up to Jerusalem, and I'm going to die there, and I got an appointment there. I got an appointment with the cross there, and I hadn't got much time, but I will take time for you today, Zacchaeus. You come down. Hurry up. And Zacchaeus did hurry up. He was so thrilled and so excited that this man would recognize him and want to go to his house. I must go to your house today. That was a very special need in Zacchaeus' life, and Jesus knew that he must go and meet that need. That must is the same word we find in John chapter 4 that says that Jesus must needs go through Samaria because he knew there was a woman going to be there at that well that needed him. And I believe that Jesus knew that this blind beggar was on one end of Jericho and that this little fella, Zacchaeus, on the other end of Jericho, and he must needs go through that way because he wasn't going to pass that way again. He was not going to, if he was on his way to Jerusalem, he was on his way to die, he wasn't going to pass that way again. So it was very urgent that Zacchaeus hurry up and come on down and go because Jesus' time was running out. And so Zacchaeus, we're told, comes down and receives him joyfully. A man who had cheated so many people, and a man whose heart, no doubt, was burdened with that kind of thing, said, here's a man that wants to go to my house. Here's a man that called me by name. Here's a man who wants to abide with me today, who wants to stay at my house today. A man as popular as he is, a man who's got a large following and has, and he wants to go to my house. No wonder it was a joyful occasion in his life. And I feel like that today that Zacchaeus is no doubt still rejoicing that he came down out of that tree and said, come on, Lord, you can go to my house today. And he would no doubt say, boy, it was close. It was close because he was passing my way and wasn't going to come back no more. And if I'd have let him go on by, I would never got saved. A lot of people that lets Jesus pass on by. They have an encounter with him. And he says, come to me. Let me save you. Not today, Lord, not today. And Jesus passes on by, maybe never to pass their way again. I was conducting a funeral some years ago for a man that had put it off to the very last. But after witnessing to him a number of times, he finally said yes to Jesus. And in that funeral service, I was telling how he came to the Lord. And afterwards, there was a woman that came to me. She says, my husband is lost. Would you go visit him? And I knew who it was. And I had visited this man several times and had witnessed to him several times, her husband. And each time I'd ask him about becoming a Christian, accepting the Lord, not today, not today. And I told him, yeah, I'll go back to see him. And I went back and witnessed to him again. Not today. After we left, not long after we left, we retired, moved away. We learned that that man passed away. And to my knowledge, he never did accept Jesus as his Savior. He died lost. You see, Jesus passed his way a number of times. Not today, Lord, not today. But there came a time when Jesus didn't pass that way again. And a lot of people have had that happen. Jesus speaking to hearts and says, let me come in. He's knocking, let me come in. Not today, Lord, not today. May not pass away again. But Zacchaeus didn't let him pass by. His intentions were to see it. And whenever he came down, he did take Jesus home with him and no doubt prepared him the finest of meals. And during their meal time, they talked, and Jesus talked. And when Zacchaeus heard the words of Jesus, he stood up and he told everybody around, told the Lord, no, everybody. He said, I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. And anybody I know of that I've cheated, I'm going to pay them back fourfold. He wanted to make restitution. And Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house, which may mean that that included Zacchaeus' family. Hopefully it was. But salvation had come because Zacchaeus was a changed man because he had received Jesus into his life. He had believed on him. And he was changed, and he wanted to make restitution. No longer was his riches that important to him. He said, I want to give them away. They don't mean anything anymore. So Jesus took priority in his life. What a glorious event in that man's life. But I read that story and I noticed something, that Jesus did not say to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, you got to quit your job. You got to give that up. He didn't tell him to do that. It was all right for Zacchaeus to be a tax collector and collect what he was supposed to, but not collect more than he was supposed to. It was all right. He needed a living. And so he didn't tell him to quit his job. Sometimes we think we have to quit our jobs to do, and sometimes we do. Sometimes we have to quit them to do what Jesus tells us to do. He didn't tell Zacchaeus to do that. Zacchaeus may have done it. I don't know. But anyway, salvation had come to the house. Zacchaeus. So it started off, he wanted to see who Jesus was. And when Jesus said, I'm going to your house, and Zacchaeus found out who Jesus was, he found out Jesus was his Savior. And what a glorious time that was in his life when he got saved. Well, the religious leaders didn't like it. They didn't like it. They said this man going to be have company with the sinners. He's going to mix with the sinners. They didn't like it. Jesus hung around with sinners. But you know, you think about it. I know I think about it. What if Jesus had not hung around with me? What if he had not, what if he had counted me as a sinner, no good sinner, and I have nothing to do with you? That's not Jesus. For he told them, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his business. That was his mission. To come and to seek that which was lost, including this hated tax collector. And all, they don't know how bad a sinner may be. Jesus loves all sinners and wants to save all sinners and will save all sinners who will call upon him and trust him as our Lord and Savior. I was in chapel one morning at the seminary, and the speaker that day was from another country. I don't remember which country. But he was telling about preaching another nationality. And it was a conference. And in conferences, usually the invitations are not given. And so there was the speaker was speaking that morning. He was speaking about Jesus. And when he got through, he sat down and they were about to have the benediction to leave. Whereupon a man in the back stood up and he cried out. He said, "Sir, I will not go home today without Jesus. I can't go home today without Jesus. I've heard about him and I need him and I want him. I will not go home without Jesus." And so he accepted Jesus that day as his Lord and Savior. He wasn't going to let Jesus pass by and him not accept. So he took him home with him. That's what Zacchaeus did. He took Jesus home with him that day. And he'll spend eternity just praising the Lord that he did and that Jesus was willing to go. And he'll go to your house and mine. He wants to abide in our houses, in our hearts. This is his house. This is where he wants to abide, and he will. Have you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Is he passing your way today? Don't turn him away. If he's passing your way, you don't know him. You need to come. Say, yes, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner and I need salvation. I want you to forgive me for my sins. I believe you died for me on that cross. I believe you shed your blood for me, and I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. You here this morning, you need to do that if he's calling you. You may feel the need of rededicating your life to God. You may feel the need of making some other decision. You come as we sing our hymn of commitment today, number 317.